Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. American officials are talking with Israeli officials, trying to keep hostilities with Hezbollah from spreading. CBS's Chris Livesay is in Tel Aviv.
The Pentagon says Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has been pressing Defense Minister Yoav Gallant for a diplomatic solution to the fighting. The U.S. State Department is warning all Americans to leave Lebanon, while commercial flights are still available.
President Biden will have a lot to talk about when he makes his final address to the U.N. General Assembly this morning, says White House spokesman John Kirby.
Mobilizing resources for developing countries, managing the risks and benefits of artificial intelligence, and helping end the brutal wars in Gaza, Ukraine, and Sudan.
A powerful storm is about 2.5 days away from a possible landfall in Florida's Big Bend. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
The storm is expected to pack a punch, at least a Category 2 or 3 storm, potentially up to a Category 4.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Former President Donald Trump is coming back to the Badger State. He's set to hold a rally in Prairie du Chien on Saturday, the adopted hometown of Derek Van Orden, one of his biggest supporters in the House of Representatives. Van Orden is being challenged by Democrat Rebecca Cook in November. Meanwhile, the Trump campaign is currently on a bus tour throughout Wisconsin. Today, they're in Appleton, Green Bay, and Beaver Dam. The last time Trump was in Wisconsin, it was in Wausau just about 2 weeks ago. And former Governor Tommy Thompson says he wants former President Donald Trump to campaign in the state's two bluest counties. He says Wisconsin is not a done deal for Kamala Harris and says Trump's team should come to Dane and Milwaukee counties, which he called, quote, the belly of the beast. In 2020, Joe Biden won 75% of the vote in Dane County and 69% of the vote in Milwaukee County. So it's yet to be seen whether the Trump team will take that advice. That's what you need to know. Now here's some news from closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. One person is dead after a two-vehicle crash in Marathon County yesterday morning. It happened a little before 8 a.m. near the intersection of State Highway 13 and Merkel Road in Spencer. Investigators closed that section of Highway 13 until after 3 p.m. yesterday. The victim's name has not yet been released. It's Rail Safety Week, a time to think about the dangers of crossing railroad tracks either on foot, by bike, or in a car, and how to do it in the safest way. Officials say you should look both ways, turn down your music in a car, and avoid wearing earbuds when walking or biking. Never cross the railroad tracks when lights are flashing. Never speed up and rush through a gate or go around it. According to the Commissioner of Railroads, in the last 5 years, there have been 170 incidents resulting in 45 deaths while crossing tracks in Wisconsin. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your day out there. We are going to kick things off with our great friend, Mother Nature Whisperer, Weather Whisperer. I don't know if I'm trying something there, Brittany. Brittany Merlot joining us right now. Brittany, how you doing?
I'm great. Weather Whisperer, Mother Nature Whisperer. Those are good nicknames.
We're going to test them out. We're testing them out. Brittany's going to actually be joining us, Melissa. Seth and I a little bit later. We're going to be putting her under the spotlight as we interview her for Director's Cut. We're looking forward to that and really appreciate it, Brittany.
I like that you almost said microscope.
I did, yes. Yeah. we are going to get a little scientific with her. We're going to be talking meteorology and stuff and looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That'll be a fun conversation.
I know you're going to grill me. You'll be like, what is your relationship with Mother Nature? Tell me. How does this happen?
Tell us the truth. We want the truth.
Know.
We can handle the truth. Brittany, I did want to ask you one question early on, though, because I've been using our good friends over at Travel Wisconsin. They've joined us on the air here a handful of times over the years. I go to them for their the fall color report. Is there somewhere that you would recommend, or just another one that you would recommend to people as they're kind of gearing up and getting ready to take in one of the most beautiful times of the year here in Wisconsin?
No, I love the Travel Wisconsin one. I personally use that as well. Mm-hmm. That is very accurate. I mean, they've got the cameras, the pictures up there. They're really diving into different parts of the counties. I think the only other way is just get out there yourself.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Go out there.
Well, hard to do it any better.
And give us that report.
Yes, yes. And we'd love to hear it. That's a great point, Brittany. Please feel free to call up and let us know, everybody. Call up on the show here and let Brittany know. Let us know, Brittany. What is it going to look like today?
Oh, beautiful. A great day to go out, take a walk in the woods, soak up the refreshing feel, because we're still going to be hitting temperatures in about those upper 60s to low 70s. So still crisp, a ton of sunshine out there, mostly sunny today, a calm wind as well. We could see some patchy fog overnight and through early tomorrow morning, but that's about it. Still sunny, dry, all week long. And in fact, we start to warm things up. Tomorrow we'll hit the mid 70s. And then for Thursday and into the weekend, some upper 70s. So the unseasonable warmth is still hanging on. It's trying to, at least, for a little bit longer.
I always do kind of appreciate when Mother Nature does this. It seems like we have this almost every fall into, you know, summer into fall, where she just hangs on for a little bit longer. I love it. And really clear blue skies out there today. A great start to the day and to the show. Thanks, Brittany. We'll talk later.
Thank you.
Have
Thanks,
a good one.
Brittany.
Best in the business right there. Friend and Brittany Lowe joining us every morning right in this time slot. And be on the lookout for that a new episode of Director's Cut this weekend and everything. Not only is Brittany going to be joining us, but Melissa's going to join us as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're talking on Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. Coming up in the show here, we're going to have the El Cafe Coffee and Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up for you. We'll also be getting into, we might be having flying coffee pretty soon, everybody, and looking forward to that. It might be
coffee.
Feeling over...
Is coffee coffee?
If
coffee,
you're coffee. Feeling overwhelmed, coffee to-do list... Wait, I'm sorry. Am I saying coffee a lot?
You are. It's
I
everything
am.
Coffee. I was like, what, did you change the birthday coffee birthday anniversary club?
I'm okay. So sorry, everybody. I'm a little distracted because I had my first cup of coffee today that I've had like a week or so. It actually feels like it's been months, but I haven't had coffee in a week with the extraction I had done and everything. I tried it this morning. I had enough, Melissa. I was like, okay, I'm going to milk it down. I'm going to cool it down a little bit. But coffee, how I missed you. Oh, I was
James is in coffee heaven over there.
I really am. I really am. I'm also feeling a lot of the caffeine.
Oh, this should be a fun show.
It is. This is going to be a blast. Because not only do we have all that going on, but in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll get into a little bit of entertainment news for you. There is an interesting game show based on a 90s TV show that we've got to talk about coming up.
Be fun.
That one on the way. Michael Bublé does something interesting with the voice that I wouldn't have guessed.
Okay.
And we're gonna,
I mean, his voice is velvet, but
yeah,
go on.
It really is. We're going to talk some local theater as well. And in the 9 o'clock hour, the healthiest vegetable of them all is... We will get into that.
I have a guess.
Nice. Oh, good. I want to get your guess right before we get into it.
All right. I'll save it.
And corporate America's top 10 frustrations. We will find out about those coming okay. up. But I do want to talk a little bit about coffee. We normalize coffee. We have it every day.
Do
those
we?
Of us that love it, no, we don't. But I just wanted to talk about coffee.
We laud and bow down to coffee.
Thank you, coffee. I'm so sorry.
You're amazing.
I didn't tough it through and try to drink you while I was dealing with the pain that I was. But coffee goes way, way back. I think some of these facts that I happen to come across about coffee might be common knowledge. Some of it maybe not. So let's get into some of these, Melissa.
Coffee facts.
Coffee dates back to 800 AD. Where it was discovered.
Coming to you hot and fresh. Sorry.
No, keep them coming. Oh, keep them coming. That was great. That was good. It was discovered back in the 9th century by goat herders.
Good old goat herders.
So goats eating the plant, they noticed that the goats were eating the plant and appeared to be dancing after they ate it. And we're like, well, I want to try this. Why are the goats having all this fun? I didn't know,
I want what he's having.
I knew the goat herder part. I didn't know that they had that. Why they even tried it? I never thought about that. You see this bean, you're not necessarily tempted to necessarily try it. They tried,
right, but early on, you had to watch animals because, and granted, that's not always a surefire way to not poison yourself because animals have different digestive systems than we do, and they can handle things. Like cows can eat grass. Don't eat grass. It doesn't work well.
Don't do it.
I tried that in grade school. It does not stave off hunger.
Yes. No.
But yeah, you had to watch what the animals were able to eat and not die before you tried it yourself.
Yeah, that's so true. I thought about that. Coffee is a fruit. For those that don't know, the beans grow on a bush and are found in the center of a berry known as a coffee cherry.
Coffee cherry.
That's pretty cool. Nice. I didn't learn that either. I didn't know that one.
I didn't know that.
One of the more famous fans of coffee was Beethoven. Beethoven apparently was quite obsessed with it, actually, using precisely 60 beans per cup and would spend time counting out each and every bean before having one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, I went on a bit of a, it wasn't a deep dive, it was a medium dive on pour over coffee. And how to do it properly. Like, what's his name? Is it Dan over at Ground Up Coffee?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, no, this will be the healthiest deep dive you ever take. And he wasn't wrong. Mm. I mean, I watched an 18-minute video, James, on how to do pour over coffee. And not only was it fascinating, but the guy that narrated it was his dry humor. I stayed there for the dry humor because it was good.
Yes,
but yes, there's so much science involved in how to make a cup of coffee. So Beethoven had it right. You need the proper amount of beans to water ratio to not to have that sweet spot between not too bitter. Or not too acidic, or there's so many components I can't even get into.
Yeah, man, I see what I mean. We've normalized coffee. We've got to put some more thought into this one. That's awesome. And a shout out to our friends at From the Ground Up Coffee Shop. Visit them when they open their doors, everybody. 250 West Grand Avenue, right here in Rapids. Finland is known for consuming the most coffee in the world. I would like to say that we here in Rapids can compete with them. Finland drinks the most coffee. On average, they drink 12 kilograms per person per year, which works out an impressive 1,680 cups on average each year.
Whoa.
That's pretty good. But did coffee help Finland get to the Olympics? Because it helped Brazil. Back in 1932, the Brazilian government didn't have enough money to send their athletes to the Olympics, so they funded the trip by selling coffee.
Okay, I just had to do the math on that, and because I don't mental, I had to calculate. That's over 4.5 cups of coffee a day in Finland.
That is, man, they talk about it being a very happy part of the world. I wonder if there's something to that right there.
Maybe.
Coffee wasn't always for drinking. Before coffee was discovered to be a delicious beverage, it was actually a food. East African tribes would grind the berries and mix them with animal fat to eat.
Oh, kind of like Native American, is it pep? Pecan?
Yeah, I want to say pecan, yeah.
That's not exactly right. I'll look it up. Keep going.
I know what you're talking about, though. And I'm the last person to ask if we're saying a word right. you may know this one, Melissa, with that deep dive you did. There are two different types of coffee bean, robust and Arabic. Arabic has lower acidity and a smoother taste, whereas robust is more acidic and bitter.
Okay. They didn't go under the different beans.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought that was quite interesting. I got to admit, I wasn't quite sure of that one. And coffee, at one point, there was a dark time for coffee and coffee lovers out there. Coffee was banned. Yeah. In the 18th century, governments tried to ban the beverage because it was thought to stimulate radical thinking. Our favorite drink was actually banned in Sweden for a while in 1746, along with anything related to it, including cups and saucers.
What?
Sweden was messing around.
No. Like, not only can you not have the drink, you cannot collect the cups either.
Seems a bit too far. Seems like
it's a little excessive.
Can I have some water? Well, you better put your hands together. Got no cups.
The word is pemmican.
Oh, yes. Okay. Now that is much more accurate.
Yep. Dried meat and animal fat and sometimes like fruit, whatever they had that they could dry, and it was a trail food.
That's pretty, okay, right on. Nice, yeah. Nicely done, Melissa. We will get to our El Cafe birthday and anniversary club coming up on the morning show right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Back again. Tri-City Services wants to warm the hearts of their neighbors by giving a furnace to a deserving person or family in need. Nominate your person at calltricity.com before October 18th.
WFHR invites you to join David Farmbrough of Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors and tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. The next show is coming up and we'll be talking about topics that matter to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So if you're looking forward to welcoming David Farmbrough to the show and taking your questions, be sure to tune in every second Tuesday of the month right here on your locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 60s to near 70 today. The wind out of the east at around 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear. A little patchy fog overnight with a low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Tonight is my birthday. Tonight is my birthday. Tonight is my birthday when I party like that.
It's time for the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. One of our favorite parts of the day. We get to celebrate you and talk about our great friends over at El Cafe at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Their doors are open. Head on over.
Yeah.
They got some...
Ooh, and they have a fun-looking menu this week.
Yeah, did you see their daily specials?
I did. Skillet, skillet, skillet.
Yeah, some really good stuff on that skillet today. You can get a great one for breakfast. Pork skillet, oven-baked pork, two eggs, onion, green peppers, and cheese. And their special for lunch today, spaghetti and garlic toast.
Oh, who doesn't love spaghetti?
Yes. Yeah, I love trying different people's spaghettis, too. They always tend to really just be a different spin on a great, on a classic. Head on over
is
there.
Is it weird that I thought, because, okay, oven-baked pork. I'm like, that's not usually something you think about for breakfast. Like, wait a minute, Melissa. Mm. Like, every breakfast meat is pork.
Yeah, no, actually, I didn't. You're so right. I didn't even think about that.
Like bacon, sausage, ham—they're all pork, but they don't. They have like breakfast pork names,
yeah,
as opposed to oven baked pork.
No, we.
But it sounds delicious.
We had a couple of different Latin families, a Puerto Rican family, Cuban family, lived right on the same floor as us, and they were always this time of day. Absolutely, there was ham or some sausage or something being cooked or something like that, and I immediately think of that stuff almost actually almost even more than dinner. Sometimes I think of those things.
Because they are breakfast. They're breakfast pork.
Yeah, but it's
but you don't call them pork.
You're right.
You call them bacon, sausage, or ham.
Hadn't even thought about it. Whatever you call it, order it over at El Cafe today.
Yes.
Get on over there, everybody, and thank them for us. Wish them a good day.
I might have to just drive over there.
Oh, it sounds so good.
It sounds fantastic.
Let me know how it is. let us know your birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. We want to hear from you. Get a hold of us by emailing us info@WFHR.com, info@WFHR.com. You can email any of our staff or myself, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us, melissa.k@civicmedia.us. Reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to us on Facebook as well. Hit us up on our Facebook pages, DM us. And of course, call up.
That's right, 715-424-2600. Or just one button, dial in with the Civic Media app, which you have because you want to get in on this awesome contest we have going on this week.
Yeah, more on that later. We're going to be talking about that and hyping that up and everything because we just got a week left of this one. So I want to make sure that you all get in on this and get some winning it.
That's right.
And get in on the winning because we also, at the beginning of every month, announce a winner for our El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. That's why we collect these names. So whether you're giving to us live on the air or not, yeah, we want to celebrate with you, everybody. And let's grab a qualifier today. Melissa, I need a one or a two.
One.
All right. Gives us that qualifier. We can get right into the celebrating, wishing a happy birthday to Greg Langston.
Happy birthday, Greg.
Enjoy your day, Greg. Wishing you a good one. And we wish a very happy anniversary to Bob and Donna Panko.
Bob and Donna, happy anniversary.
Wishing you guys a wonderful anniversary. Hope it's a good one for both of you. Enjoy the day. Mm. Enjoy each other. And many, many, many more to you.
Yes.
And that sounds like just a classic couple name, Bob and Donna. That's a good name. That's a good set of names right there. Enjoy your, I like that. Enjoy your anniversary, you two.
Yeah.
We take a look.
Were they the qualifiers?
Yes, I'm sorry. They are the qualifiers for today.
Yay! Congratulations, Bob and Donna.
Enjoy and brag to everybody about it. Enjoy and brag.
And go get a pork skillet. Y'all.
Yes, yes. Good idea. Taking a look at our celebrity list of birthdays, Ben Platt is 31. Evan and Dear Evan Hansen, you may also know him as Benji in the Pitch Perfect movies. From what I have to be honest, I haven't seen him, but I hear very good things about his acting.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, Nia Varbalos is 62, the wonderful Greek actress from My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Fantastic actor. Wonderful actor. Mean Joe Green is 78. Oh, Mean Joe Green. Not only a legend on defensive line in football, Melissa, and a part of one of the greatest defenses in football history, but maybe more famous in some ways pop culture-wise. There's a famous commercial that Mean Joe Green did, a Coca-Cola commercial. Oh, God, my mom's yelling at me right now.
Don't mess that up, Jimmy.
He's walking down the tunnel after a tough game or something like that, and a kid goes up and he's, hey, Mean Joe Green, and gives him a Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. And Mean Joe tosses him a jersey. Cool. And it's just a simple ad, but it was the biggest ad in the world for like a year or two. Coca-Cola made use of that one. It was a big one. And kind of really, there was always celebrities in commercials, but that one really showed how popular that could be, done right. And it's kind of a simple commercial, but it actually is really kind of a, when you watch it, especially going back and everything, with how much we overthink this stuff, you know, pretty cool.
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes the simpler ones are the ones that hit the best.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that the case?
Yeah. Because when you try too hard, man, looks like you're trying too hard.
We've got some people no longer with us, and all three are going to take a moment, everybody. Because first up, one of the greatest, I think, members of 30 Rock, of Saturday Night Live's alum, Phil Hartman, born on this day in 1948, passed away way too early in 1998. Mm-hmm. SNL got to start with the Groundlings. Really, one of the architects of the famous improv group, the Groundlings, which is just about as big as Second City is here in the Midwest and out east. The Groundlings are out west. Phil Hartman had about 19 to 20 different recurring characters on Saturday Night Live. One of the biggest things you can get on that show is you get on the show and then it's, okay, I have to have a character that they keep bringing me back in sketches. They got to use me. I'm going to be out there. Also, how else can I be used on that stage? Am I just an actor? I'm not going to get used that much. Well, if I'm a writer and an actor, I can get used even more. Phil Hartman came into Saturday Night Live a little bit older, not super old, but a little bit older than your usual Saturday Night Live member. So he had a little more seasoning, and he was able to walk into that writer's room and walk onto that stage at 30 Rock and make sure every person that watched that show knew who he was. A history of great impersonators on that show, nobody better than Phil Hartman. There was nobody who was a better impersonator than Phil Hartman, and they've had some greats. It's really saying something. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people have a hard time transitioning from Saturday Night Live and going to the pro game, if you will, going to TV and movies and everything. Phil Hartman, they couldn't wait for him. Casting agents to this day talk about how they wanted Phil Hartman in more stuff, but the Saturday Night Live schedule kept him so busy, so he wasn't able to do a lot of things. So when he got his break on TV and doing news radio, Dave Foley from Kids in the Hall, another great improv show, one of my favorites of all time. I was glued to that show. It had a perfect cast, and Phil was, to me, the best part of it. Did a couple of great movies over the times. Also,
so much voice acting.
And as all of that being said, one of Phil Hartman's greatest legacies is also about mental health and the importance of it and the importance of paying attention to it, the importance of addiction and where that can go. His legacy is so much so many layers to it. And I just think one of the there's every year on this day, I go back and I watch this sketch. His last episode, Chris Farley came out, and Farley didn't want to let him go. And this wasn't a bit. This was something he really felt. And you have this beautiful scene of Chris Farley putting his head on Phil Hartman's shoulder. And it's just a beautiful moment. Linda McCartney.
I have to mention so many things from my childhood that he was in. Tailspin, DuckTales, Jetsons, Darkwing Duck. I didn't watch it, but he was in a lot of the Pee Wee Herman shows. The Brave Little Toaster.
My sister's favorite cartoon. I thank you so much. I forgot about his voice acting.
Yeah.
He got his start before the Groundlings, actually through the Groundlings, I believe, working with Pee Wee Herman, and was a writer with him and helped create half of the a bunch of the stuff, if not half of the stuff that we loved about the Pee Wee Herman stand-up bit and the TV show. Mm-hmm. It's a great note,
and of
Melissa.
Course, The Simpsons.
Yes. Easily the best cameo ever to join The Simpsons. He was Lionel. He actually was so good that they ended up turning him into a regular on the show. Had he been around, he would probably still be on the show doing Lionel Hutz, Attorney at Law, or Troy McClure. You might remember me from such shows as... such a great... One of the legends of everything that he did. Linda McCartney, born on this day 1941, passed away in 1998. Paul McCartney has mentioned many, many times that his career wings. None of that happens without Linda. Linda was very shy. Linda didn't think she was a great musician. Paul didn't care. Paul had worked with perfection. Paul had worked with, you know, being in one, maybe the most legendary band of all time. He wanted to work with his wife. He wanted to work with his friends. He wanted to do work that he loved. And Linda brought that out of him. Linda McCartney was also one of the first and biggest voices and advocates for veganism and being a vegetarian. And more importantly, eating healthy and paying attention to labels and everything. It wasn't so much, she never pushed anything. She wasn't like, you shouldn't eat meat or anything like that. She was just very adamant about eating healthier, way before a lot of other people were. And Jim Henson, born on this day in 1936, passed away in 1990. Genius. Yeah. I grew up idolizing and loving Jim Henson, one of the biggest influences I ever had and ever will have, like a lot of us out there, and really did my homework on him, because I do these deep dives on people, and I like to know where they were born, how they were, their origin stories and everything. It's one of my favorite things about people, because people are one of my favorite things. And Jim Henson was a self-made person. Think of, you know, jumping into the entertainment industry and trying to make it as a singer, an actor, or something like that. Now try to think of doing it with a part of the genre that has not even been invented yet. It hasn't even been done. And doing this, certainly not alone, but with a great team and finding good people to work with. And not only working with good people, but trusting those people and finding the joy and the greatest joy in creativity is when you create for others and when you create with others.
Yeah.
And I still learn, it feels like almost every year, more about him that just fascinates me. There's a beautiful documentary on Disney I encourage you to check out about Jim Henson and the origins of the Muppets and all these things this man gave me. And maybe the greatest one I get to do later tomorrow when I get to podcast with my daughter, doing the podcast we do called What the Muppet, where it's all about Muppets and everything. The man keeps giving and just a legend, a true genius in what he did. Yeah.
And gone way too soon again.
Yeah. We wish happy birthdays to Greg Langston.
Happy birthday, Greg.
And all of you out there celebrating. Happy birthday, everybody. Mm-hmm. And happy anniversary to everybody celebrating out there, especially our qualifiers, Bob and Donna Panko.
Bob and Donna, congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Enjoy your day, everybody. And if you want to get us, if you're just catching this segment at the end and you're like, oh no, I missed the birthday and anniversary club.
No, you didn't.
No.
Contact us.
Yeah, call in or contact us any way you feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. We will celebrate it a little bit later or even in tomorrow's show.
Absolutely.
Mel and I will be back with more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Political parties are putting a lot of effort into the youth vote here in Wisconsin. Some analysts say young people alone could decide the election. Ever since Kamala Harris was named the nominee, there has been about a 20% jump in enthusiasm from Wisconsin voters age 18 to 29. That means social media may play a bigger role than ever. Hilario De Leon is chair of the Milwaukee County Republican Party.
Everyone's on it. We get our news from it. I have a TikTok account. I have my own social media platforms that I do. Any major, you know, corporation, company, sports team, political group, they all have social media.
Matthew Lehner is chair of the College Democrats of Wisconsin.
Social media is one of the big reasons why Janet Protasiewicz did so well in the 2023 Supreme Court election. I think you're going to see that again in 2024.
14% of young Wisconsin voters are still undecided. That's more than double any other age group. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The final alarm ceremony will take place this Saturday in Wisconsin Rapids. This solemn ceremony honors all firefighters that have given the ultimate sacrifice, both present and past. It will begin at 3:33 at the Firefighters Memorial. All are welcome to come honor fallen brothers and sisters in the fire service. The final alarm procession will begin promptly at 7 and follow through the streets of Wisconsin Rapids with red lights only. You can find a map of the procession on the Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department Facebook page and hear the full interview with Tom Anderson on WFHR.com. Health officials are warning residents about an increased risk of rabies exposure as temperatures begin to cool down. As temps drop, animals like bats and skunks are more likely to start seeking shelter indoors. You should check to make sure potentially infected animals can't get inside. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers prep for Minnesota. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sport, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is 2-1 heading into this Sunday's matchup with the Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said it's been a team effort to win each of the last two games.
I think that can galvanize our team, and we've needed everybody. Everybody's, you know, I don't want to say, because I'm a firm believer that you don't rise to the level of competition, you sink to the level of your preparation, and these guys prepare the right way, they come to work the right way, each and every day with a great attitude. We go out and we have some tough practices.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced all of last week, has missed two games with an MCL sprain but could return this week. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. The Brewers have six games to play in the regular season. They are in Pittsburgh for three games starting tonight before a home series with the Mets. The playoffs start in October. And the kickoff times for the next two Wisconsin football games are set. They'll be at USC on Saturday with a 2:30 p.m. start. Then they come home to play Purdue a week from Saturday at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clement, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. I will start the show and then pass the hosting baton to my friend and ongoing contributor, Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. It will be spectacular. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The morning show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Many people struggle with a lot of these things, though, like making and maintaining friends, making new friends. Mm. These are things that actually, like, I'm very envious of the people that are good at making friends or can just start a conversation with just about anybody.
What people don't understand is that's why James hired me and Melissa, not because, you know, we're talented or anything. He's lonely.
Very.
That's how he gets friends. He hires them to work with him.
My friend's contact list, it is three.
Weekdays from 8 to 10.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 60s to near 70 today. The wind out of the east at around 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear. A little patchy fog overnight with a low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Welcome back, everybody. Melissa and James here for the morning show. We'd like to send this song out to our love, coffee. We hope you're having a great Tuesday morning out there, everybody. I thought Lou jumped in sooner here. I thought I timed this out wrong. I thought he jumped in a lot sooner. I didn't know it went out this long and everything.
That's okay. It's another, little segment there.
Yes.
He's coming in now.
Yeah.
You'll never find as long as you live.
I'm dancing with my coffee.
Someone who
And I don't care.
Dramatic lead in.
I don't care who can see me. Windows are wide open. I'm dancing with my coffee and I don't care.
Good.
Melissa and I got some fun stuff lined up for you, everybody. We're going to get into it a little bit. America being down to its final Kmart. Big day on that. A big moment in pop culture and just, consumerism, really. That's coming up for you. But could we have flying shopping carts before we have flying cars?
Flying shopping carts.
Yeah, we've been promised flying cars for around 100 years now. But anyone actually working on it? I am curious about that. Is anybody actually? Because it feels like we jumped a step. Instead of flying cars, we're just trying to get to the atmosphere now. Not even space. They keep saying space. It's not technically space. They're just going into the higher atmosphere. But regardless. Yeah.
Maybe they're just waiting for us to stop getting into accidents on the ground.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer. I feel like I get in trouble whenever I say this one, and I know I'm not going to win anybody over here, but I don't know that we've earned it. we treat driving and cars and everything like it is a birthright, and it's not. It's a privilege. Mm-hmm. You have to earn this. You have to take a test to be able to drive. You can have it taken away from you. Mm-hmm. So whether it is having more ATVs on our roads or it is having flying cars, I feel like these are things that we need to earn as a society. And I'm genuinely asking. I don't pretend to have the answers. I am not standing on a hill and pointing down and judging anybody. But I do think we need to ask this question much more if we're going to go forward with these things. And especially if we're going to have flying shopping carts, because a robotics team in South Korea is developing something called a Pellatron, which is a combination of a pallet and a drone. It's supposed to be an improvement on a shopping cart that can go over any kind of terrain, including up and down stairs.
Okay.
The current vision of the Pellatron isn't that smart. It can hover at a certain height while safely balancing wherever cargo you put on top of it. And it doesn't even have to be a basket. It's stable enough that it's more like a table. But a human still has to control it. There's a handle on the front like a normal shopping cart, and you exert force to direct it where you want it to go.
Okay.
And it does seem to take less effort than an actual shopping cart.
Right, because there's zero resistance in the air.
And you don't have to worry about
next to zero.
Man, how many times there are 100 carts. Those people do, all the cart guys and ladies out there grabbing carts. You guys do a great job. I used to do that job. You do great work. But every time, man, there's 100 carts and I grab the one with the bad wheel or the shaky wheel every single time. So you don't have to worry about that.
That's true. No wheels. No wheels.
And if people leave this cart in the middle of the parking lot, it'll remain stationary at least until it runs out of batteries.
What happens when it runs out of batteries? It just falls to the ground and somebody drives over it? These can't be cheap.
So working, there used to be cops here and they're working that and grabbing carts at night at 2 a.m. or whatever, and you're running around. There's always that one cart that some yahoo sent all the way over to, on the other end of the Shopko parking lot or something. So you're grabbing all these things. And there's the bad wheel one and everything. I can't imagine that on top of that. Anybody got the charger? Yeah, we got this thing's dead. You can't move it if it's dead. It's just sitting there.
Well, the question, though, is how does it fly?
Yeah, that's a good question.
What makes it levitate?
They're still in the early testing phase where the carts are only holding about 7 pounds of cargo, less than a gallon of milk. And I haven't read it yet of how it levitates. That's such a great question. Since there aren't many stores or parking lots that require you to go up and down steps, you may be hoping that this is something that could carry your bags up the steps to your apartment, but that's probably not realistic. The developers say that they believe that this will be most practical for commercial and industrial use rather than residential.
Not if it only carries 7 pounds.
Yeah, yeah. And while it's in the early stages, you know, grocery stores, I'm comfortable saying that they're just coming back, you know, economic wise from the pandemic, but I wouldn't say that there are very many grocery chains that could afford this.
No kidding.
This is one of those things that, much like big flat screen TVs, and there was a point there where you knew if somebody had money because they had one of those, and then eventually they just became so much that now you see them on the side of the road all the time and everything. it's going to need to get to that stage with something like this
it's definitely a supply and demand kind of thing. But you know, the only thing I can think that it would, how it would levitate, are like something like fans.
Yeah, I could see that.
And so then what? It's blasting the ground with air to stay in the air. Can you imagine what that would be like in a grocery store? They better keep their floors pretty darn clean.
And watching the test video of this, it seems like they're not using a lot of effort, they're moving very slow. Very slow, which is the opposite of your shopping experience.
No, you want to get in and out as quick as possible.
And this doesn't even take in the biggest consideration of all factors.
Where do you put your child?
Where do you put your child? Where
if it only holds 7 pounds, I'm sorry.
I mean, putting the kid in the car.
Sorry, Jimmy. You're going to have to walk.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm 9 months.
Hey, leg it, kid. Work out those calves.
It comes with a backpack, so you can carry your kid on your back.
I feel like we're a ways away from this one, everybody. Yeah. And probably a ways away from flying cars, too.
I just want the hoverboards.
Yes, that's what I'm with you. Yes, yes, yes. I don't even care if we ever have flying cars, but give me a hoverboard today. I want one of those right now. Especially, it's getting colder out. We're not going to be able to use it for much longer. I don't know if you want to use a hoverboard in the winter. I don't know.
Well,
it would be kind of cool in the snow, though. Pretty cool.
It's like a hover snowboard.
Have you snowboarded before?
I have, to disastrous effect.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's right. We talked about it. I like
it ended with a sore tailbone and hot toddies in the chalet.
That's the way
it wasn't a complete loss.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't so bad. A little positive and negative on that. I think snowboarding with one of those hoverboards would be pretty darn cool.
That all sounds terrifying to me. But yes, I would want to watch other people do it.
You've probably heard a number of people by now talking about this. Kmart just announced its last full-size store in the U.S. is closing next month. The location in Bridgehampton, New York, on Long Island, will shut its doors October 20th. A smaller Kmart in Miami will be the last one operating in the lower 48. They also still have a few left in the U.S. Virgin Islands and Guam. The first Kmart opened in Garden City, Michigan in 1962, and by the early 90s, there were around 2,300 of the Kmarts across the country at its power, most powerful. But they went bankrupt in 2002 and merged with Sears, and then went bankrupt again in 2018. Even the last location in Miami isn't much of a Kmart these days. They recently subleased it to a home furnishing chain. And the only part that's still Kmart is a small section that used to be their garden department. So it's not really even a Kmart anymore. And this is, it's like to certain generations, this is melancholy. This is a little sad. I don't know if sad's the right word, but a little bit, because I know for me and where I grew up, we couldn't afford, Marshall's or some of the other stores, but we could always afford Kmart. And Kmart also had a layaway plan back in the day that, you know, for lower income people, there was nothing really like that. That was really important back in the day. And it had its place. It had its time. I do think that we could be sad, but I would also I would rather put my energy towards, what learning from this?
Right.
And what businesses can do to survive, and how, you know, instead of just whining and complaining about Amazon or big chains, what can we do to compete with them? What can we do to, and I'm not saying
looking forward.
Yeah, yeah. And building and learning from this.
How can we build up small businesses in our local area so that they aren't, at danger of going under because of these big, huge, giant businesses that also, as we're talking, can go under.
And the importance of moving on, evolving, whether you are a business, whether you are a person, time only goes one direction. And everything is better off when you let it evolve organically, naturally, or scientifically. This is just business. It's rough. It's tough to see. But at the same time, hey, what could they have done to stay around? Walmart is still around. Target is still around. You still do have some stores that are still physically around and selling. Yeah. What are they doing and how do they do it?
They're evolving with the times.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
But I don't care what you say, James. I'm going to lock myself up in my house and watch Back to the Future. Time goes more than one direction.
Hey, that's a great point. Where we're going, we don't need roads. We just need commercials. We will be back with more shows.
And there's hoverboards.
And hoverboards. You can hang on the end of a car and get a ride. We'll be back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, a Western Wisconsin school district referendum includes a novel approach to helping their hometown create more childcare opportunities.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 60s to near 70 today. The wind out of the east at around 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear. A little patchy fog overnight with a low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks for joining us. Hope your Tuesday's treating you good.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
Got some fun stuff lined up for you. We'll take you right to the top of the hour. In the 9 o'clock hour, we'll kick things off a little entertainment news, talk some local theater, and eventually in the 9 o'clock, we're going to get into the healthiest vegetable of them all.
I know what it is.
Crown one. Oh, I can't wait to hear your answer on that one. We'll get into all that.
Now you just said that. Okay, keep going.
We wanted to get into this one, an article from MASH.com. Send a shout out to them. The fast food chains that do and do not use real cheese.
Sorry.
It's kind of a funny, you know.
It is funny. Almost an I also can't wait to hear this because if it's not real cheese, I can eat it.
So the fast food food places that do use real cheese in most menu items include Panera, Starbucks, Taco Bell, Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and Jack in the Box.
And Culver's.
And Culver's. Nice. And the ones that do not include McDonald's, Burger King, Sonic, Dairy Queen, Tim Hortons, and, you know, something else to keep in mind, any subsidiaries of these. That, you know,
Tim Horton.
I've heard of those, but I've never actually seen one. Wendy's.
I don't know if I eat at a fast food place called Tim Horton.
I don't know. It feels like I'm going. Yeah, I don't know if I
show up at some dude's house.
Yeah, I don't like.
Hey,
I don't,
Tim, what's for lunch?
Hey, look, we don't have a whole lot back today, so the menu's a little thin. Wendy's is on the real cheese list, but their junior bacon cheeseburger, the one in the deal, features American cheese, which is classified as a cheese product.
Cheese product.
And Buffalo Wild Wings may not be fast food, but their cheeseburger also comes with American cheese, so keep that in mind. So that's kind of an interesting list. And I don't know how much this changes people's direction one way or the other, how they're eating these things, except when it comes to, like you were saying, Melissa.
Okay, but I just looked up Tim Hortons.
Okay, I'm going to look this up. Okay. Yeah.
No, it's in Canada and here. Mm. But they sell something called Timbits.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No.
I think they're like little donut, like donut holes.
Mm. Oh, hey, wait a minute. You can't.
Timbits.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. They got a name already, Tim. I'm sorry. You can name your, like, it could be his name. It could be based on, it looks like it's a part of the Wendy's family and the Wendy's organization. But
I'm sorry. That just got me.
I'm
not going to some dude's house and buying his bits.
You have such a normal sounding name, Tim. I'll show you. I'll name a restaurant after my name. You'll see. People will be excited by the name Tim Horton.
Sorry, in I Toronto. Derailed our conversation.
Yeah, no, that is all right.
We're discussing cheese, not somebody's bits.
I think that this is going to be helpful, maybe. Otherwise, I don't know how much rhyme or reason this really has to it other than, you know, that.
Well, I mean, for those of us who are lactose intolerant, knowing right. that, because, I mean, like, I know that the ice cream at McDonald's I can digest easier than, obviously, something from Culver's because they use real milk fat,
mm-hmm.
and McDonald's uses a lot of sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
and other ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that I could actually get the cheese on the Big Mac that I always order without cheese, maybe I'll do that next time. I don't know. It doesn't add a whole lot, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly.
And you know, having food at almost all these places, except for Tim Hortons,
which we will never ever eat
at. No, I'm not going to your place, Timothy. I'm not. I don't notice, honestly. I notice a difference with the meat more so. I think I'm more of a meat person than a cheese, so I guess I don't really pay as much attention. Opposed to a real cheese to a processed cheese or what have you, I guess I don't notice the difference when they're combined. Maybe on their own or on a grilled cheese sandwich. God, all of this sounds so good. I'm so hungry, Melissa.
Sorry.
I just want real. Sorry, I just James. Want solid food.
Apologize.
This I think it's could be very helpful what you talked about there.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, I am curious at how much this would, if you weren't lactose intolerant, if this would, you know, help you direction wise on what you'd eat or anything.
Well, I mean, and if you're just looking to remove a little bit of calories or fat from your meal, having it without the fake cheese. We'll do that for you and remove something that is probably a lot more chemicals and not great ingredients mm-hmm. that you don't need in your life.
We're trying to. Yeah, we're trying to help you make you know, it can be tough sometimes, middle of the week, trying to figure out what to feed yourself and, you know, maybe even your family and all that. We get these lists, and I want to thin out that to-do list for you. And speaking of to-do lists, they can help you stay on task and get more done. But is it possible you're already getting too much done? If you're feeling overwhelmed, think about making a to-don't list.
Don't.
I've never heard of this one. I am a big list maker, a list doer. I get it from my father, who gets it from his father. I come from a long line of list makers. to don't lists are for all the non-essential things we do that suck up our time, or things we do a certain way that might not be so hard if we change them up. A to don't list might include things like don't overcommit to social engagements, or don't offer to do favors for everyone, or don't schedule meetings before 11 a.m. Don't skip lunch.
Okay, so this is learning how to say no.
Yeah. The idea is to be mindful about the stuff that's eating up your time and making life less enjoyable. But unlike to-do lists, you don't need to make one every day. Just do it once and check in on it to remind yourself when you need to.
Reminder, don't overcommit. No, I need that one every day.
Yeah, yeah. This could be really cool for some people, I think. I bet you there's some people that could, you make this list, laminate it, keep it in your purse, your wallet, whatever.
Pocket.
Your pocket. Yeah, yeah. If you're lucky enough to have pockets.
Exactly.
any of those things, I think that'd be great. For somebody like me, this would just be reminding me of things that I'm not doing, not reminding me to do things. There are certain ways that my brain works that is just weird, and this is one of them where I feel like I've already got this list in my head, this to don't list. I've already got it there, and I check in on it and I try to keep up with it. But between you and I, Melissa, not always the greatest at it. I feel like having a physical one in front of me might almost have not the opposite effect, but not as positive as an effect.
Well, and I do think that it's good to be mindful of those things. I have had to become more mindful of that as I've gotten older, just because, I don't know, there's only so much you can cram into a day or an hour before you're going to either let yourself or somebody down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that for me, that's the motivation. I don't want to overcommit and then not be able to follow through with what I promised. So... That has been my driving force to being able to say, no, sorry, I can't do that.
I love the idea of having something, a daily or almost when you need it, go to break glass in case needed, positive, reinforcement or something, a nice positive reminder. Something like that or along those lines akin to that, I got no problems with. I recommend something like that. I think I think we're trying to navigate that, trying to figure that out. We've never been more in touch with our brain. You know, we've never been more connected and more understanding of it, and we've never understood the brain better. And all that being said,
we still don't know what's going on up there.
Still don't know a lot of it. You know, we've still got a lot of it we're trying to map out. Imagine,
which in some ways is a little reassuring.
Yeah, imagine if the brain was the world. And where we have it now, and if we looked out, the Americas, even North America, we got all that mapped out. That's great. The rest of the world, I got no idea what's going on out there. I have no idea what's going on. Like, that is the brain. That is what we're dealing with. So we're still trying to figure these things out, navigate this stuff. And as we do this, it's important to not only give each other grace, but give yourself grace. And whether it's overcommitting to things or it is not taking the time to let yourself just breathe. Just be, whatever it is.
Something that I read recently kind of really resonated with me, and I don't quite know how to explain it, but it was something along the lines of who benefits from your self-hate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who benefits from that?
Yeah.
That can be a reason to love yourself and to try to think positively about you and what you're doing and what you're able to accomplish, whatever way works, because we all need more self-love.
Yeah. Yeah, there can't be enough of it. We're not on too much of that. We need more and more of it, and we need to have more of good vibes, good energy. Mm-hmm. We're able to do that with a lot of different ways. One of the ways we are doing that here at Civic Media is our statewide Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest.
That's right. You could win green or gold.
Yeah. That's how well our company's doing, everybody. We are giving
you money or jewelry.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. And we're doing that well thanks to you. We are nowhere without all of you out there. And this whole contest is just a sneaky way for us to thank you guys and tell you how much we appreciate you. Keeping not only helping Civic Media grow, but helping us evolve and become better by your feedback and so many other things.
Yeah. Being able to do more for local radio.
Mm-hmm. I've heard listeners tell me over the last a couple of months, especially going back to the fair we were at, Melissa, that we have done more here at WFHR in the last couple of years than they have seen in a decade, as far as reporting and some of the work that we've been able to do. And that all starts with you guys out there and with Civic Media and things like this fun contest. Be listening at the top of the 11 a.m. hour today, 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock hours. We're going to give you a keyword to text to us. Do so, and you could be one of the winners of either some green or some gold, and the possible grand prize winner of a pair of tickets to see the green and gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd. Take it on, New Orleans.
Ooh, that's like a Christmas present wrapped up all in a warm, nice room.
How did I think about that? You're so right. Yeah, that is. It really is. That's a great one. It may be the perfect Christmas gift out there. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is have the Civic Media app handy. Just have it handy. Get ready to text
when they announce those words. Text that word in during that hour, and then you will be entered to win daily prizes. Every hour, they're choosing a winner, and then you're automatically entered into that grand prize drawing.
We're rooting for you, everybody. Woo-hoo. We want to see you win. We want to get some Rapids winners.
We want somebody from our station to win.
Yeah, yeah. Let's more shots at the apple. Keep on getting those names in there and be listening. Again, at the top of the 11 and